It's time for some collective wisdom, a podcast advancing the cannabis revolution one conversation at a time. We all benefit from sharing knowledge and experiences. So if you want to learn about the business of cannabis from those in the trenches, you've come to the right place. Here's your host, Lisa Tolner, co-founder of SensiChew.
Hello, we are recording today at MJ BizCon in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I have the pleasure of speaking to Carrie Radistock, who is co-founder and CEO of Hippo Premium Packaging. Carrie has over 20 years of award-winning print and packaging expertise and has worked with some of the top global brands. She launched Hippo Premium Packaging to bring a higher level of craftsmanship and professional-level packaging and brand building to the emerging cannabis industry. And she's been named Cannabis Industry Woman of the Year, so I'm very honored to have her here on the show. She's a featured speaker at numerous industry events. Carrie is also a very popular columnist with MG Magazine and is a noted thought leader on topics relating to cannabis business branding and building. So it's no surprise to learn that Carrie has a uniquely loyal client base. Customers are not only wowed by her exceptional customer service, but many also report significant revenue gains as a result of the packaging and brand building solutions that Hippo provides. One customer recently reported that sales doubled after her new packaging hit the store shelves, so that's pretty exciting. And as a business owner who has started with just one employee, Carrie knows what it takes to grow a company, grow a business, and overcome the many obstacles. She loves to share her roadmap for success and help others to navigate the complex and ever-evolving cannabis industry that she now calls home. So, Carrie, welcome to Collective Wisdom.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm so thrilled to be here with you.
So, tell us about what you feel it takes to build a brand, some of those key steps to success, because clearly you've been down this path many times. You've helped many companies to achieve greatness in what they do. So, tell us how it's done.
Well, you know, most brand builders, we like to start with the essence of who you are. And you've got to really know who you are and what you're good at when you come into it. So when you're planning your business, it should be a natural extension of you, because consumers really don't connect with companies. They connect with people. And it's the people who are behind those marketing messages. And so they've got to connect people together. So you just start with who you are and what is your position in the market. What statement do you want to make as a brand? What are you bringing? What are you doing that's better than anyone else? And we need to focus on that. So we kind of start with who we are so that we can express that in an authentic way. So to build a brand, we like to help people think of their product mix and think of their target demographic, because that could be baby boomers, and they are maybe more comfortable with gel caps than they are with pre-rolls, because maybe baby boomers don't really want to smoke. They feel it's a bad thing, but they're used to taking pills, and this is a comfortable way for them to use your product. So to understand who would want your product to position itself, so we build a brand not for the founders. We build the brand to appeal to the consumer. And that's the most important thing that you can do. It's also got to reflect who you are and feel authentic to you so you can get behind it. But the goal is to really appeal to that consumer.
Of course. Now, you mentioned the founders. So how many cannabis founders come to you and you think, oh my goodness, here we go. They see the dollar signs, or what are the perceived dollar signs in the industry, but really they're after it for the money, but may not have the real heart involved. Do you see that?
I'm seeing it more now than I have ever before, which is sad to me, because when I first started in the industry, and it's only been 4 years, but it feels like 40 because, you know,
dog
cannabis.
Years.
Yep.
Cannabis
that's
years.
What we got. That's what we got. In the beginning, it was really people who were passionate about the plant, very small operators, and people who wanted to make a go of it. And they may not have had the business acumen needed to succeed. They didn't know how to go out and raise money, so they weren't able to position themselves into, you know, it takes a lot of money to go to market. To be honest with you, if you don't have $50,000 to start, you're probably not going to make any type of an impact. But now, to get back to the brand building, so I kind of did the very basic, you know, your baseline. But then there's all the ways that you express the brand. And that's, of course, through your website. That's extremely important. Your packaging becomes more important in building a brand in cannabis than probably any other space because of our lack of advertising outlets. You know, we're so limited to what we can do that packaging has to work extra hard. When you're building your brand, a lot of people rely on their packaging to tell the brand story, to give the consumer confidence in the product. There's been so many studies around how much the packaging influences a buying decision. Some people say it's upwards of 70%. So packaging has to work harder and harder than it ever has before.
Now, as a longtime pro in branding, you've seen a lot. You've seen brands that started out probably very simply and then over time got it together. But if you're just starting out, what would be some of the initial tips or tricks that you would recommend? And this could really be not only for a brand that's looking to rebrand, like they got started, but now's the time where they're really taking that more seriously, taking that advice of being aware that packaging is so vital versus a new cannabis business that's starting for the first time. So what would be some of those tips and tricks that you think are just absolutely essential?
Well, my very first client I met 2016, and they were called Utopia Farms at the time. And I ran into them at a High Times Cup event. It was really fun. I saw the three founders. They had this double wide, beautiful white booth with monitors embedded with video of their farm coming through. They all had branded t-shirts. They had custom packaging, a brochure, and they just looked really put together that you could tell they put a lot of effort into it. And based on everybody else at the show, I was like, these guys are really doing a good job, and it's hard. What they're doing is hard. And so I basically said, you guys are doing a good job. And they were like, oh, thanks. It has taken us years to get here, and we've used every friend and family member we have. They said, and now we're ready for a professional. You know, when you're a startup, you have very little funds. So you may actually be better off just really conserving your funds, going to your local college and graphic design department and try to get, you know, a student who could really believe in you, look at portfolios, interview. You can get young designers to do something really nice for you to get you started if you don't have big budgets or enough to get started. But these guys had been around for a few years, and they were ready to take it to the next level. But they have done very, very well in growing, and they had to layer it. You know, it's one thing at a time. In this industry especially, it's made up of small businesses, and you only have so much budget. So they started with the brand, and then little by little, we attacked their packaging, and then we added a jar and beautiful labels, and then we did an overwrap carton, you know, because premium flower is in jars, and if it's ultra premium, it's got a carton overwrap box that continues to tell that brand story. So they were able to, over time, add the layers to the brand that really made it extra special.
Well, it's nice to hear you say that. Having worked with a lot of startups myself over the years, I think some agencies will tend to come in and say, you got to do it all right now. Here's what it's going to cost you. And sometimes these companies have the budget to do it. More times than not, they don't. And so they end up having to wing it and bootstrap it. But I think giving them a roadmap, giving them a path that they can follow that says, okay, we're going to do this first, and then this second, and then this third. And so you can really allocate your budgeting over time so it's affordable. But you know that when you get to the end of 9 to 12 months from now, you're going to have a really complete image. So having that kind of guidance is really valuable for these companies. So kudos
to
you.
Absolutely. Thank you. But ideally, you would have a budget and do it really well from the beginning and use brand strategists and make sure you get your graphic designer involved early and someone who actually understands branding and can work with brand strategists to create that brand. But most times, people don't have those kind of budgets and they need to take steps to where they're wanting to go.
Now, does Hippo provide both the creative services as well, or are you just on the printing side?
We do provide creative services as well. We do brand development. So when I was coming into this industry, I noticed that there was a real lack of quality graphic design. And that's the kind of things that I want to work on. I want to work on things that are beautiful, that I'm going to be proud of. So I wanted to bring creative with me.
Make it a rewarding experience for you and your customers.
Exactly.
Let's talk about compliance for a moment. It is ever evolving and changing, which for someone who's investing in design and packaging can be a very stressful concept, because no sooner does your packaging get completed, you've made this investment, it looks great, and then the regulations shift and adjust again. Are there any new regulatory changes that are coming down the pike that people should be aware about that you can share?
Well, there are a number of new things that are coming up. Actually, January 2020, California is a huge market. And what is significant probably for California is basically child-resistant packaging has to be on all products. And currently, you're allowed to use an exit bag if it's not in child-resistant packaging. But moving forward, that primary package has to be child-resistant. So that's a pretty big change. It was the rule when they legalized, and then they flopped it back because there's so much industry pushback. But then they brought it back because we have to protect the kids. And as an industry, we need to be extra diligent about that. What has been kind of nice is that the regulators have given the cannabis community a little more time than they used to. We used to get 3 to 6 months to make a regulatory change on packaging, and we really should get about 2 years, because packaging can sometimes take, you know, in development, if you're running overseas, you really need to plan ahead. And that's the biggest thing about packaging that people make a mistake about, is they don't take the time needed. You need to be thinking about what you want to do 6 months ahead of when you want it done.
Minimum.
Minimum.
You have some special announcements coming up, some special things that are happening for you and for Hippo Packaging in Q1. Tell us a little about that.
We have been self-funded, and we're excited that we're going to be going out for a Series A raise, and it's our first time fundraising like this. So I just attended the Investors Intelligence Conference here, which was, I thought, fascinating and really, really valuable for me to learn what investors are looking for and what they're wanting, and to gauge the sentiment of the industry. You know, with the whole bottom dropping out of the Canadian market, it scared a lot of investors off, but they are coming back. They want to be in this space. They just want to make sure their investments are safe. And the underlying message around that was that cannabis companies, they must operate just like any other company. You know, you've got to have your costs in line. You've got to be profitable. And that has not been a focus until now.
Yes. Well, it reminds me a little bit of the dot-com days, when I think about businesses getting funded on a concept scribbled on a napkin. And I think the reality is there's oxygen coming back into the room, and people are realizing that you've got to base it in reality, and it's got to be real, and there's got to be profit, and you've got to have some operational processes in place. And yeah,
you've got to run it like a real business, that's what the investors are going to want to look at.
Well, Carrie, if there was one thing you could change in this industry, little magic wand, what would you change?
Oh, I would probably change the regulations so that it would be easier for people and more affordable for people. What was so difficult is that we as a community, as an industry, can't even agree on how things should be done. So it's going to be very hard for regulators to decide. They don't understand our business. We need to work with regulators to make sure that the regulations in place actually make sense, that we're not over-regulated, but we're properly regulated in each category, and that it doesn't drive so many people to the black market. 80% of California's product is bought off the black market, and people were relying on the regulated market to really do so much better than it did. And in Colorado, when the flip switched and they went to an adult use market from a medical market, sales increased by 8 times. And in California, when that happened, there was a decrease in sales because so many people were pushed to the black market. Prices rose sharply. The consumer said, no, I'm not doing it. And so if I could change one thing, I would find a way to fix the regulations in Canada and in the United States.
Good advice. Well, Carrie, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
And where can our listeners learn more about you and about Hippo Packaging?
Yes, please reach out to us at www.hippopackaging.com.
I've been speaking with Carrie Radistock, co-founder and CEO of Hippo Premium Packaging. This is your host, Lisa Tolner. Thank you for listening.
That's this week's episode of the Collective Wisdom Podcast. Join us each week for another episode on OC Talk Radio, streaming on Thursdays at 3 p.m., and you can download Collective Wisdom wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to visit cacollectivewisdom.com or email us at collectivewisdompodcast@gmail.com to join the conversation. Thank you for listening.